But and also because, you know, once I'm in my church on Mars, I want to be able to.
Mars church.
I can't be thinking about this podcast when I'm in my Mars church.
I'm not editing this on the spaceship to Mars. I'm going to tell you that right now.
I mean, you got like a couple months. You've got time. What else are you going to do?
We could call
How many times can you really watch Lord of the Rings on your way to Mars?
The Escape Podcast.
Oh, yes.
That's a good one, right?
That's good. That's pretty good. Yeah. All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday Podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff. With me, as always, Pastor David Bowser.
How are we doing, Patrick?
And Elise McCarter.
Still here, still pretty successful.
All right. Have you ever gotten a rental car that's new?
I just, what do you mean that's new?
Well, it's got, new features.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I have a good story about
this. I just got a rental car. I just booked a rental car this morning. Yeah. Got an upcoming trip. We're getting a rental car.
What you got, Elise?
So I went to visit one of my best friends who was temporarily living in California. And so a girls trip, right? Flew in kind of late that night to Santa Barbara. And they upgraded me to the brand new Mercedes SUV.
Okay.
Really tricked out. Yeah. No extra money. I was feeling really good.
19-inch rims with spinners and
No, not like that type of Mercedes. But it looks like a spaceship on the inside. It all lights up and changes colors and stuff.
Very
and
fun.
Took me 12 minutes to figure out how to put it in reverse. But that's actually not the funny part.
We're not here to the funny part.
It's white. It's like that light camel colored interior.
Yeah,
and my friend, when I picked her up, she promptly puked all over it.
I love it.
Now, did you get the insurance?
Did you get that thing?
But she did. She spent the rest of the weekend scrubbing it.
Uh-huh, I would hope so.
We went through the drive-through car wash, and I was like, hi, our friend puked in this car.
Somebody that's not here right now.
Yeah. And he just handed us two handfuls of air fresheners.
Good luck.
So we were fine. But.
Yeah. All right. This is from Miami Beach.
Okay.
All right. We have a man who has broken into a Corvette.
Oh, all right. Okay.
And he's caught by the owner.
Sure.
Because he can't figure out how to get out.
Love it.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's stuck in the car and he can't get out of it.
Auto-locking doors or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That he says, I could not get out. I was just stuck in the car. The thief was begging me to let him out.
So, I mean, the thief got in somehow.
Well, I assume, most door cars, have handles, right? That makes sense.
So inside there was not a handle that
he could not figure out how to open the car door from the inside.
Man, at that point, just break the window. You're
you're already a thief.
Yeah. Break the window and get out.
Maybe he's looking at the Corvette and be like, this is too nice of a car.
That's right. I can't do this.
Yeah. It's like defacing the Mona Lisa.
Yeah.
People try to do that. But.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, breaking a car window is not easy. You have to have the little hammer.
I mean, you can use other things to do it, but the hammer does make it very simple.
Have you broken a car window?
No, but car windows break.
It's like, you know a lot about this.
In the early days of the internet, I do remember seeing a video of a guy illustrating how easy it is to break into a car, like a newscaster, with a hammer, and it took him 10 tries.
That's like the opposite of the Cybertruck rollout. Yeah. Elon Musk was like, this glass is bulletproof, and it breaks it with a baseball.
Whoops.
I mean, look, I get it. I've been in also new cars, and I don't know how to work anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the car, I was in Colorado this last weekend for a wedding, and I had a rental car. And the gear shift was a dial. I don't know. What is this?
I hate that. Yeah.
This is nonsense to me. Yeah, I don't like it at all.
That's because it's all electronic now. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I was not a fan. Yeah.
Okay.
And I
don't get that type of car.
And it also took me a while to figure out how to turn the air conditioning down. I don't know how to do this.
When stuff is all in the wrong spot, it really throws you for a loop.
Yeah. I like my car.
Sure.
That I know.
Yeah.
And really, I only know 50% of it, right? Yeah.
You're gonna be really fun to buy a new car with someday.
So far. Yeah.
I just bought a new car.
Eventually, you're going to have to buy another new car.
Yeah.
A new-to-you car, whatever that might be.
A new-to-me car. Okay. I was in shock. I'm still in stock. That's what the car owner says.
Oh, they're still in shock?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you came upon someone in the process of robbing your car and they were asking you to let them out, what would you do?
It depends on which car it is, because I got one I'm trying to get rid of right now.
You're in there until you get this thing gone.
How much is this going to take for you to continue with this robbery?
Yeah.
Carry on.
Say a number.
Let me throw the keys in.
Yeah.
uh, yeah, that's a call the police situation. Yeah. Okay. You know, that's pretty easy. Yeah. You know?
There's someone in my car. Yeah. He's not supposed to be there.
And he doesn't know how to get out.
Open, shut case. Yeah. Or shut in this case.
Shut. Yeah.
You know, I feel like if you're like, I'm a car thief, you at least got to have like some base knowledge.
Yeah, but that guy's got imposter syndrome right now.
Yeah.
Like, can't even.
I can't even be a car thief.
I'm not a real car thief.
All right, let's move on to our main story. From our friends at Christianity Today.
All right, CT.
Oh, this person's name is Peridot Gilbert Reed.
Peridot? Isn't that a type of stone?
Tell me your parents were hippies without telling me your parents were hippies.
Peridot Gilbert Reed. Okay.
Yeah.
That's probably a lady, right? Peridot?
Sure, why not? I'm not here to dissect the authors of his names.
Peridot.
Don't spiritually bypass your church hurt neighbor.
Okay.
That's the hard part.
All right. Your church hurt neighbor.
Yeah.
All right. So, like the Good Samaritan, we're called to offer a healing balm, not pour salt on their wounds. Mm-hmm. Thank you for illustrating that on an audio podcast.
Happy to help.
It's the hand motions.
People got it. Yeah. You know, they came through.
They can sense my hand motions through the interwebs. That's the beauty of modern technology. Also, I started video recording these for us, so I'm doing that for our home audience.
Oh, yeah. Where's the camera?
It's just around.
Oh, we got a hidden camera?
Yeah. It's a hidden camera podcast. It's a new all the rage.
Sounds like you could get in a lot of trouble for that.
Yeah.
It does.
All right. Pray, believe, and receive, or doubt and do without was a phrase I often heard in my Christian circle.
She heard that phrase a lot?
Yeah, that's. I mean, I don't know.
That's quite a phrase.
That's. I think we stopped at like live, laugh, love.
And although it was not intended to be a hurtful adage, it became one. It kind of feels intentional to be a hurtful adage.
It feels
like it definitely feels intentionally hurtful.
Yeah.
Do without.
Yeah. Oh, you doubt God? Well,
do without. Yep,
yeah.
You're out.
Yeah, you're out. Yeah. All right. That is after I worked at a ministry where I was bullied, isolated, and left to fend for myself.
Yeah.
When I finally decided to quit, friends and family still expected me to keep going to church, but I was so wounded from what I had experienced that the thought of attending church literally made me sick to my stomach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And every time I thought about this, I felt shame and guilt. I couldn't help but think maybe I didn't pray hard enough. Mm. Maybe I doubted without realizing it. And whenever church peers repeated this adage, again, not my circle. It caused a visceral response in me. I didn't have the language to convey why this statement bothered me so much at the time, but I do now.
Okay, let's hear it, girl.
Yeah.
Okay, so first we got an example of some spiritual hurt.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I want more details.
You want the tea? Give me the spiritual tea. Yeah, I don't want
I don't think that's the point of her story.
It might not be the point, but like,
but I want it. I'm here for that.
It'll be beneficial to me.
Yeah.
Like the Real Housewives of church work.
Exactly. Okay. Right, yeah. That's reality TV version.
I'm surprised the Real Pastor's Wives is not a thing. That's, yeah.
Oh, it kind of is. Like the Real Mormon Housewives.
But yeah, there's more.
That's true.
Yeah.
There is, yeah. Real Lives of Mormon Wives.
Yeah. But yeah. Well, there's another one. There's a Real Housewives branded one that's Mormon.
Yes. There's a Real Housewives.
Of Utah or something?
Of Salt Lake. Yeah.
Yeah, so obviously they're all Mormon. Yeah. Yes.
It does have a Mormon pastor
who
married her step-grandfather.
Yes. Yes. Okay. It's like I know this through Patrick's wife because she knows everything there is to know about this franchise.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So there you go. You know, look, I'm not. No judgment.
Okay.
Judgment.
A little bit. A little bit of judgment. Yeah.
But, so that one I feel pretty safe.
But
passing
there you
a
go.
Little bit
there
of judgment.
There you go. That's weird. All right. Anyway. All right. Let's talk about church hurt for a second.
Church hurt.
Two of us are church workers.
We are.
We are both. There's three of us in here. We are both.
Oh, when'd you get here?
Yeah. Oh, is there a girl in the room?
Have you experienced church hurt? Let's just start there.
I have not, personally.
Ugh, so boring.
I know. He didn't tell me to like prep a story as I was giving an honest answer. I have.
Nothing?
I've been very fortunate. I grew up in a congregation where I was loved and treated fairly and encouraged and supported. And I'm also, you know, a white male, yeah, who was like going to school to become
straight
a pastor.
White,
I was like,
male.
Yeah,
yeah.
I was kind of everybody's ideal candidate for what they thought this was supposed to be. So no, I personally have not.
I mean,
I've witnessed it for other people, but I have not experienced it towards myself.
Sometimes that can be just as bad too. Like,
sure.
Like,
I mean, I would say witnessed by like hearing people's stories in the aftermath, not like actively seeing it happen. Yeah.
Elise,
Patrick,
have you experienced church hurt?
Yeah.
You got anything you want? Any tea you want to spill here?
Yeah. I mean, there's so much, but I think I've talked about all of this at one point or another on this podcast at this point. But I grew up Presbyterian and then went to a Southern Baptist university, which was a big mistake. And that just really disenfranchised me from Christianity for a hot minute after that, because it was so. And again, you know, it's not that they were necessarily coming for me in particular, at least not at that point in time.
Yeah.
But there were many people who I cared about that they were sort of coming for. I, you know, it took me like 7 or 8 years really to bounce back from that.
And I would say kind of your experience, I think, from my understanding of the article, right, is really going to fit into the kind of experience that the author, Peridot, is going to be talking about. Because it's not like the direct church abuse, right? Like, I mean, we've seen that, we've talked about that before, but it's like, how have I been hurt by the church? And then people tend to not acknowledge it or to blush past, because you didn't, you know, come on, that's not that big a deal, right? And they give you that routine. Anyway, we're going to get to that.
Church hurt is interesting. You know, as a church worker, I think you kind of can experience church hurt in a different way. And that, I mean, like, it's also your employer, and that can be difficult and a challenge. And sometimes the people you work for or you work with, you are privy to kind of seeing more negative aspects of them than the general church going public. And I'm not saying that about Pastor
David.
Yeah. But I think that just could be a level of church hurt that that kind of exists, you know, sometimes for church workers. They experience church differently.
Yeah.
And I think also, you know, I kind of experienced like church hurt in the not direct hurt, like not like this is a church that's hurting me, but seeing the hurt that it's doing for others like can hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, I, like Elise, I'm a kind of a convert to the ELCA from another branch of the Lutheran Church. And that was for reasons, right? Like, and so for not, again, not necessarily direct hurt. Like, I think they said something that was so hurtful or so offensive to me that made me say, like, I can no longer be a part of this, but did things that I thought were painful in this world that I was like, it's time to move on. Like, so, I mean, that's just a different level of church hurt.
Yeah, for sure.
I think for sure, there's an extra layer of complication too with the two of you, because like if something hurts me here at this church, I can just leave, right?
Sure.
I can at any point in time make the choice to just stop showing up, right? That's where your livelihood is coming from.
Sure.
So it's a lot more complicated for the two of you. You know?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's for sure. And I think too,
that's why I only bully Patrick in private. That's
and on this podcast.
Right.
I think, too, there's probably an acknowledgement of, like, any person who's been significant amount of time in church leadership is that there's probably decisions, actions, or words that I've said that have hurt another human being.
You know, like, intentionally or otherwise.
Maybe unintentionally. Maybe, like, this was not the intent, but either a promised follow-up that we dropped the ball on and just forgot about, or somebody was hurting and I didn't even really know. And they had an expectation that I could not meet. I mean, those are more generous, you know, church hurts that people can do. Or sometimes it's they had an expectation of me that I just was not that person.
Yep.
And, you know, or, you know, that, you know, and sometimes people are more actively hurting their congregation. But, you know, I think even the best of pastors and church workers and church leaders will provide church hurt to someone.
Yeah.
You know, that's just the reality. Yeah. All right. So anyway, so she is going to talk about like, hey, works now, she's a therapist, works with people who have church hurt, and oftentimes they're kind of given these same kind of like platitudes to kind of like cover over that church hurt.
Yeah.
Like, God's got this. His ways are higher than yours. You just have to trust him. Or the classic, evidently, pray, believe, and receive, or doubt and do without.
Classic. Yeah.
Of all the, Of all the circles, that yeah. Anyway, I've heard the other ones. Those seem familiar.
Or a version of that. Yeah. Right.
Can you imagine that as a tattoo? Like your whole arm.
It's across the wingspan.
Yeah. Well, you got two arms, right? You want to pray, right, believe, yeah, and receive on, okay, one. Yeah. Right down, do with that on the,
sure,
other.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. That way, when you spread your arms in the,
yes,
form of Jesus,
right,
on,
yes. Yes.
Inside me are two wolves. One, right, prays, believes, and receives. One doubts and does without. Yes.
Which wolf wins, Patrick?
That's right.
The one that you feed.
Wow.
That's the
story.
Adage.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
There,
yeah,
you go. Yeah. You're not familiar with that one?
I'm not.
Oh, my gosh.
It's quite a story. Right. Yeah, I like,
that's
it.
That's actually a good adage, unlike the...
It's a reasonable...
Pray,
yeah,
pray, believe, receive.
Yeah, the one that we can't even say.
Right.
Yeah.
It does rhyme, so, you know, at least I'll give it that. So,
kind of.
Yeah, and she, I assume, says that this is exactly what I experienced in the church, and many others experience, that when you experience church hurt, the people around you kind of whitewash it.
Yeah.
And kind of are like, yeah, but, mm-hmm, God's got this. Or, yeah, yeah, but that's not all churches. Or, yeah, mm-hmm, but did you pray about it?
Yeah.
You
know, like, ugh.
Yeah. All right. And then she's going to talk about the parable of the Good Samaritan.
Okay.
Love that one.
Yeah, yep. Let's sum
That's
up.
A favorite.
Let's sum it up. I mean, I know it's a classic, but let's just make sure we're on the same page.
Sure. So, parable of the Good Samaritan. There is a man from Samaria. No, not from Samaria. There's a man from. got the story backwards
womp,
already.
Womp. My turn.
There's a man going down from Jericho, presumably to Jerusalem, but we don't really know where he's going. He's just on the road away from Jericho.
These are not the details we're looking for.
I'm getting there.
A dude gets beat up and left on the side of the road, and everybody steps on him or around him.
I was getting to that
part. One guy.
Important people step around. Church leaders step, yes, around him. A priest, yes, and a Levite, people who should have been caring for him, step around him. And instead, a Samaritan.
It was like sort of a social outcast a little bit.
Well, not amongst his own people. He was a social, right, outcast amongst the Jews. The Jewish people did not get along with Samaritans.
Yeah.
And
for
so,
reasons.
Ancient.
Okay. Yeah. Unknown. For reasons unknown.
Has to do with lineage and who stayed behind in the exile and things like that. It's complicated.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so they didn't get along with the Jews. And so for a Jewish audience to hear that the Samaritan is the one who cared for and bandaged up this man and actually paid in advance for his care and said, I will pay you back anything else that you have to do to care for him, that was like the shock value of the story.
Clutching pearls.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, to the point where, like, yeah, Jesus asks, like, who's the one who showed compassion? And they can't even say,
yeah,
the Samaritan.
Yeah.
You know, like,
can't stand it.
Like, yeah, for, you know, that's just so difficult for them to even kind of.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. All right. So, yeah, part of kind of what she's going to draw attention to here is, like, some people bypass. And the Bible, you know, Jesus' story includes a Levite and a priest, religious, mm-hmm, authorities, mm-hmm, and leaders, which is all the more hurtful, right? Yeah. Like, it's not just everyday people, but it's people that are supposed to care.
Yeah.
That are familiar with God's rules and laws about caring for your neighbor.
Yeah.
And choose not to.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is a story, so we don't have the reasons, right? Like, Jesus, mm-hmm, doesn't kind, mm-hmm, of get into, like, and this is why the Levite passed it by.
Yeah.
Or this is why the priest did it. And, you know, so we can only guess or surmise.
Yeah.
You know, you got to guess or surmise.
A lot of interpretations go that they were doing it because they were choosing purity laws over actually loving their neighbor. They were choosing to follow laws of God, but they were choosing to follow laws that were not the most important laws, that they were putting this purity over actually loving the people God told them to love.
Okay. Which is sort of Jesus's whole shtick, right?
That's a pretty big piece of Jesus's shtick. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Well, to not do that.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah. Like,
that and what you're supposed to do with money. Those are, like, yeah.
Right.
I did read, you know, one group to kind of, like, a little, let's test this out. Let's do a little social experimentation.
Oh, right now?
Yeah, right now.
Okay.
With our hidden camera. No. This is on other people.
Okay.
And so they gave, you know, a group of pastors, like, hey, you're going to present, mm-hmm, on the parable of the Good Samaritan.
Okay.
And you're going to walk over to this building.
Okay.
And present on it.
Okay.
And then they put in the way somebody on the side of the road who needs help.
Uh-huh.
And just to kind of see,
what would they
would
do?
They stop?
Yeah.
Right. Like,
yeah,
this is the text they're studying. They're told to go over there, present it. They come across the exact, you know, would they stop?
Yeah.
and some don't, and some do.
Yeah.
You know, so, and they surmise that, like, probably the biggest factor for this group of, like, seminary students or church leaders who were going to go over there was time. Like, if they're told, like, you've got 3 minutes, you better get over there.
Yeah.
They rushed over there. Yeah. But if they were told, you have 20 minutes, make your way over that, they would stop. So, that's kind of the biggest factor that they kind of found was probably time. So,
interesting.
Yeah.
But I thought it was, you know, interesting. And also, you know, an acknowledgement of, like, hey, you know, truly, most days we pass by people who are broken on the side of the road.
Yep.
And like the Levite and priest, we
keep on going.
Yep. All right. So what should we do? How do we be kind of the good Samaritan when it comes to church hurt?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think one place, you know, we've talked about this with grief and other things too, right, is acknowledging and letting people express the genuineness of their experience and not trying to wash over it, not trying to just say, oh, well, just pray more, right? But just say, yeah, that's awful. And not even necessarily trying to fix it in that moment, but just letting people be in that and being with people in that, right? The story that I like to tell is the guy who falls down in a hole and a pastor comes by and says, you know, can you help me get out of this hole? And the pastor writes a prayer and throws it down there. And then his friend comes along and his friend jumps into the hole. And he says, dummy, now we're both down here. He's like, but I've been down here before and I know the way out, right? And so how do we allow ourselves to be in the hole with people rather than just like, oh, well, we'll pray about it and move on? How do we really have that emotional connection in a meaningful way?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know, I think about like somebody's relationship with the church is very similar to just like relationships in general. Like, and I think most of the time what people want to feel in their relationships is they want to feel safe, right? And they want to feel secure in that. And so how can you make somebody who has been hurt by their relationship with the church feel safe and secure?
Yeah.
You say, you know, like that is valid that you are hurt by that. And, you know, if there's something that can be addressed, then we should address that. But also in this moment, like you are safe to continue being you and continue to exist and we still welcome you here, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. At some future point, I think we should talk about like how you allow yourself to heal in your relationship with God outside of a church, and what does that look like, right?
Which is also valid. Yes.
Yeah, because if you're in an abusive relationship, no one's going to tell you like, oh, you know what you need to do? You need to go out and get into a new relationship, right? Like,
yes.
That is no one's answer to that, right? No one's going to tell you to stay, and no one's going to tell you, well, okay, you're out of that, so now tomorrow you need to go find a new relationship.
Back
and
on Tinder, baby.
Right, that's not the way. And so, like, how do we allow ourselves to heal our relationship with God outside of a direct connection with a quote unquote church community, I think, is a really valuable thing for us to think about in the future.
Yeah, I think because there's a lot of fear associated with not physically being present in a church.
Sure, sure. So. Because for a long time, people have associated that with going to hell.
Exactly. So, as somebody who's done it, not gone to hell, but somebody who has not been in church for long periods of time, I can say it's not that bad. Some things about it are kind of nice, but there's a lot of value.
Just ignore that last part, listeners. All right. Yeah.
There's a lot of value in being in a church community where you do feel safe.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know, and ultimately, should say, how do we spiritually bypass these people? It's not just like walking by, but it's those throwing a platitude or here's a Bible. Hey, don't be anxious about anything.
Yeah.
Jesus says it. And like, yeah, I agree with what Jesus says. I think it's beautifully, you know, as good advice, but like, it's not the time or the place for that. She will tell a story of like somebody's in a therapy group is talking about church hurt and how the people who hurt her for Peridot here in her mind was like, did not follow the biblical model of approaching somebody with an accusation of wrong.
Okay.
And she's like,
oh yeah,
I should tell her this. Right. Like, and she said like, they didn't follow their biblical model of it, you know.
Yeah.
And the woman who responded like, oh, no, don't use that on me. And she said, because that verse has been used as a weapon against her, right? Like, and so, like instead of like, actually, I've got a verse perfect for this church hurt, and that's going to clear it all up. You know, kind of like when you are expressing hurt or frustration to a friend, and really well, all your maybe mostly wanting is empathy and somebody who can like be there with you. And sometimes you'll get like advice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, well, I'm not really here for that. And I'm also not at a place where I want that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right now I just need to feel loved and not how to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's easy. It's easy for us to think, to jump that direction of like, well, this is how you should fix it. Because sitting with somebody in love is challenging because it doesn't have a fix on the other side.
Yeah.
You know, and to think, well, I said, don't be anxious. And Jesus said, don't be anxious.
Why are you still anxious?
Problem solved. Let me pat myself on the back and keep on walking.
Right. Yeah. Meanwhile, I stress out about parking anytime I go downtown.
Well, don't be anxious.
Right. Yeah. Everybody's anxious, Patrick.
Yeah. And she will say, you know, in our analogy, the Samaritan, you know, does not question the beaten man, doesn't say, like, what is his role in this, like, doesn't offer him advice. I'm like, well, if you would have traveled with a group or if you would have, like,
turned the other cheek.
Done a thing. It doesn't say, like, this is how you can get better, you know, like, if you do these things, or even tell him to forgive his abusers, which, again, that's a classic Jesus
line.
All great things. He soothes the man wounds, you know, like, and carried him a place where he had the space and time to heal.
Yeah.
So I think so you mentioned, you know, how does that look outside of the church?
Yeah.
Let's talk about that. How does it look outside the church?
Yeah, I mean, I think at least you've kind of lived this, so you might be able to speak to some of your experiences as well. But I think we can have really important relationship time with God outside of the church. I think that we still need community. And so how do we rely on community to have or to give us that space and to allow us to do that? I don't know exactly what that looks like. Maybe that's spiritual retreat. Maybe it's absence from church. Maybe it's visiting a bunch of churches. I don't know. I think it's probably going to be a little bit different for everybody. Yeah. But I think the community is still really crucial.
Yeah. I think community as well. I think one thing that I just had to remind myself of was that God exists just as much outside of church as he does in a church building, you know, and that for me, if the church had been actively harmful in the past, and that was not doing my spiritual life any favors, continuing to be in that environment. And so the kindest, most compassionate thing for myself was actually to step outside of that environment, but still find ways that I could sort of, I guess, kind of from the ground up, nurture my my relationship with God. A lot of, like, you know, maybe it's listening to a podcast, you know, maybe it's some journaling, you know, maybe it's spending some intentional time in nature, you know, that can look
a lot
of different ways for a lot of different people. And I think the thing is to kind of step out of that, like, dogmatic approach that most of us were raised in and say, it's okay for it to look different for me, you know, and it is still valid for this to not look like me showing up every Sunday morning for 2 hours and singing and, you know.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, you know, if you're a child who was abused by their parents, right, you have to learn outside of that relationship that was supposed to be healthy, you have to learn what a healthy relationship looks like, right? Yeah. And so if you were in a church that was abusive or that was just causing hurt, right? Maybe it wasn't abuse, but if it has just caused hurt, in some regard, you have to relearn that relationship with God outside of the place where you're kind of intended to have it, because that place that was supposed to be safe was not.
Right.
I think that is going to take a lot of different forms, but I think it's about how do you reconnect with God in a meaningful way? And there have been people throughout the history of the Christian church, for sure, who have removed themselves from society or who have stepped aside to do this kind of work, right? Mm-hmm. You know, these are like the desert fathers and mothers who've, like, gone out into the wilderness to try to find pure connection with God. And some of that is, like, taking it to an extreme.
Right.
But there have always been people who have been like, I can't connect to God in this space. How do I go about doing that? And have sought that elsewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, the big takeaways are, like, if church is hurting you, you got to get out, right? Yeah. Like, you know, and that's going to be hard because for so many people, they experience their community through their place of worship.
Yeah.
And I can acknowledge as a church member and a church worker, sometimes when you leave the church, the community stays behind.
Yeah.
Like, and that's really, really hard, but that's a reality that sometimes happens that you're like, well, we're going to go to someplace new or we're going to take a break. And you find, like, a lot of the friendships and relationships you had aren't as strong, you know, and that's terrible. Like, I'm not saying that that's great. I'm just saying, you know, that's sometimes
the reality.
That's the reality of the thing. But if you're not satisfied, if you're hurting, and if the people around you can't support you, I think you need to find something new. And that means maybe leaving behind. And for those of us who are with people who are hurting, I think sometimes we have to acknowledge, like, a pastor, a church leader that I love maybe hurt somebody else and they're expressing that hurt. And, you know, like, it's not my job to defend that person, right? Yeah. Like, you know, like, their pain can be very, very real, even if I had a very different experience with that church leader or that pastor or that community.
Yeah.
You know, and that how to sit in that with them is challenging and it's complicated, but I think it matters.
Yeah. And maybe you're not the person to sit with them in it.
Yeah.
But you're also not the person to tell them that it doesn't matter or that it doesn't exist. Right. Like you can, you can say like, I'm not in a position to sit with you and also not deny their experience or, or brush past them as we were. Yeah.
She mentions, you know, the boundaries that she implemented that to heal. And that didn't attend church for a year. And then.
Rookie number. So that's a rookie number.
Then slowly kind of came back. And for her, it was the same church that she served.
Wow.
Yeah, which is.
But
she still said, I still experience PTSD-like symptoms when I approach the church. Rapid heart rate, knots in my stomach, disassociation, and gave herself permission that if I felt unsafe, I could just leave.
Yeah.
And anytime, even if like I pull in the parking lot and I feel unsafe, I could just leave.
Yeah.
Yeah. And giving herself that time and space is that where I healed. Yeah. And I think that time and space matter as well.
Sure.
You know, like if you are with someone or you experience church hurt, it's not going to be an easy fix.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not going to be, certainly not going to be fixed by a platitude or here's a Bible verse or the did you pray about it question. And I think Bible and prayer are
good
awesome
things. Yes. Yep.
Platitudes
we're
less
pro.
So.
Yeah.
but, you know, the reality is like, it's just going to take a lot of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yep. Any other thoughts?
No, I think this is good. I think, don't brush past the church hurt. Let's acknowledge it. Let's give people that space. And I mean, we can always strive to not cause it too, right? That's always a good thing.
Yeah. The problem is the church is made up of human beings. So it's going to happen.
Yeah. There you go.
All right. Well, hey, if you enjoyed this episode, send us your stories of, I don't know, church hurt, I guess. That's not that much fun. But send them in. BeyondSundayPodcast@gmail.com. And of course, find all of our episodes at BeyondSundayPodcast.com.
All right, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.